Everyone, first of all, say good morning. Good morning. It is so good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Certainly thankful to see that everybody's been saved throughout this week and that the Lord has allowed us to be back in congregation with each other. We certainly had a good week down in Bowling Green, Kentucky, there at Old Union. It's certainly good to be with our brothers and sisters there and have fellowship with them. And I went away, I guess after the last lesson was taught, me and Bethany, I had to work early Saturday, I had to go into work early Saturday morning, so after the last lesson was taught, me and Bethany, we had to rush out of Old Union and just start hitting the road, but I sort of came away with a greater zeal and a greater desire to serve the Lord and to see lost souls saved. And as what that last song we sung, keep on the fire in line, folks. We need to keep on that fire in line for God. There's no room for us to stop spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's keep on that fire in line. Let's do be in prayer for the service this morning, that the Lord would just continue to get all honor and glory out of it. I thank the Lord. Well, I don't thank. I know the Lord's been blessing our services the last several Sundays. And as what it was made mention last Sunday, see, I had it easy last Sunday. I didn't get to preach. So for those of y'all who didn't come last Sunday, well, good. You didn't. For those of y'all who didn't get to come last Sunday, you missed this preacher not making a mess out of things, but it was a great service last Sunday. And as what one of our members, can't remember who stood up and said it, but one of the members, they stood up and they said, I don't want just the services to stop. I want the Lord to continue and the services to continue going. And I want them to continue going too. And I feel like, I don't know what you feel like, but I feel like the Lord is working something wonderful and has something got something wonderful in store. And folks, let's just keep on that fire in line for the Lord. Continue to pray for the service. Pray for us, if it be the Lord's will, that we should stand for just a few moments of time. That the Lord will just get all honor and glory out of us as we try to stand. We got an invitation sent to the church, Glory Land United Baptist Church over in Shelbyville, here in Indiana, on North Michigan Road. They're going to start their revival Sunday night, April the 4th, so I think that's next Sunday. So let's be in prayer for that, and this is the last Sunday of March. Time's flying. Speaking of March, we got our revival in June. It's coming up. So folks, if you've not been praying for it, pray. Pray that the Lord would bless, and I know Brother Brad Hicks was a elected to help us in this year's revival. Let's be praying for it. So let's just be praying for the services that we've got going on, those that's coming up. Got to talk a little bit this past week to Brother Monty Shoulders. He has felt the need and the impression from the Lord to start a mission over in Belize. And the way that they've described it is they go to Belize for 3 months, come back to the States for 2 weeks. Go to Belize for 3 months and come back to the state for 2 weeks. And so let's be prayerful for that work going on in Belize. My brother-in-law, Brother Chase Greenhall and Brother Chris Spurgeon, they're going to start doing mission work and hold services at the mission in Spring Hill, Florida, sometime in the month of April. So let's be prayerful for that. That the Lord will bless that work. But above all, let us continue to be prayerful for those that are lost. And I know that we continue to have lost to come in amongst us in our services. Let's pray that God would just get a hold of them. God would just, something be said or done, that God would just take it and just prick that heart. Like what he did, what was it? Saul was going there on the road to Damascus, and the Lord appeared unto him, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Don't you know it's hard for thee to kick against the prick?" Let's pray that God pricks some hearts. I wonder at this point in time, before we go any further in the service, if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts this morning. Anything at all? A prayer request, word of praise, or anything this morning?
Brother Mike, I give Lord thanks for being able to be here this morning.
Amen.
Good to see the number we have out this morning.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. 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 Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning that needs to be said or done? Lord help. Lord help. Let's certainly remember this request this morning. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts? Anything at all?
Just keep in mind, everybody has an opinion, and you got 66 books of the Bible that everyone is around you trying to read.
Yes. Amen.
Under conviction, and it calls out to God. And it reminds me of that thief on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Under today's standard, someone says you got to be baptized, you got to do this, you got to do that. Well, there's your foundation for salvation. It's a thief on the cross with Jesus,
yeah.
Savior of the world. And he told him, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
He didn't get to get down and do a somebody else's intention of what truth is, he didn't get out and get to be baptized. He got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
The Son of God.
Amen.
And that's what I was glad the other a week back, the need was so great, somebody saw that they sought the Lord.
Yeah.
And they found him.
Yeah.
I was lost one day and I found him because I needed him to be my Savior.
Uh-huh.
If you can see that need today, you can bow.
Amen.
Get it right with God, and then we can all work together.
Yes.
We're all going to have opinions. I tell you what, it's time to tell you, there's thousands and thousands wish they had another moment, probably, to get right with God.
Yeah.
And they forsook it.
Yeah.
Death.
Amen.
It'll take you quicker than you think, too.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Certainly enjoyed this. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? If not, and we'll go to the Lord in order of prayer at this time. Continue to be mindful of the prayer requests made mention of, especially those that are made mention of this morning. We've got a lot to be prayerful for today. But above all, let us just be prayerful for those that are lost and pray that this morning, that in this service, that God would just get all the honor and glory out of it, and that us as God's children will just be found in the center of His will. Nothing else needs to be said or, nothing else needs to be said or done. Brother Dale Compton, if you don't mind, lead our hearts in prayer this morning. I'd like to ask this morning, before we go further, Lord's service, I'd like to ask if anybody has anything upon their hearts needs to be said or done. If not, then please turn with us, if you got your Bibles and would like to follow along, feel the need that we need to read two different passages. So one over in the book of Psalms, and then one over in 1 Timothy. So go on and get that ready so that way you can quickly move there. I'm going to start off with Psalms 127 and verse 1. Psalms 127 and verse 1. The writer says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." And once again, please go with us to 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter, starting in the 17th verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Paul is writing to the young preacher. He said, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And before we go further, I do want to first of all say it's good to feel the Spirit of the Lord with us this morning. I think it's great whenever we can come in the house of God and the presence of God is just already there. You know, and I pray that the Lord would continue to bless us in this service, but there's just one thing that I would like to talk about to you this morning for a few moments of time. As long as the Lord doesn't change our thoughts, but I want to talk to you about a good foundation. Now, Paul was talking to the young preacher Timothy over here about how he would charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. As he concluded that 17th verse, he said, "Who giveth to us richly all things to enjoy." Now, you've heard me say this a little bit here, especially for the last couple weeks. When we talk about riches, my mind always goes back, I think, to the book of Luke, where Jesus was talking and he had told them about what profits a man if he shall gain this whole world, but yet loses his own soul. Now, I understand that, and I want to say this too, that we live in a very materialistic world today, a materialistic society. Now, this past week, as we was talking to some of the other brethren, those that have traveled across the seas and to these third world countries before, you know, it seems like that those people over there, they have a great desire to see the salvation of God. And the reason is because they have nothing else. You know, and I want to sort of say this, and you might get a little mad at me when I say this, but I think that we over here in America, we have become so spoiled in the material, in all of our materials that we have. We have become so spoiled in the society that we are in. That's because, you know, whenever we talk about finances or these wonderful cars, you know, that we have, sometimes we fuss if the car doesn't have cold enough air conditioning, Or sometimes we fuss if the heat of the car is just a little too hot or is not hot enough for our liking. But folks, I want to tell you this, there's something more to be worried about, more than just what you have in your possession. But what you need to be worried about is being saved by the grace of God. If you've not been saved by God's grace ever before in your life, I want to tell you this, there's no better feeling than being saved by the grace of God. You know, Brother Danny just said a few months ago, it's better to experience it than to talk about it. And I agree. It's so much better to experience the grace of God. It's so much better to experience the love of God. But I can tell you this, if you seek to be saved by the grace of God, you first need to be found in a place where you yourself recognize your sins before God. The reason why I say that is because over in the book of Galatians, in the 2nd chapter, in the 17th verse, that Paul was writing to the church there, and he said, "For if we seek to be justified by grace, then we ourselves are first found sinners in the eyes of God." Now, if you read over in the 51st chapter, or division of the book of Psalms, David was writing there, and I believe that the 51st chapter of Psalms was actually a prayer of repentance that David was praying to God. But you know, in that 51st chapter, somewhere along the lines, he said, "For in sin my mother conceived me." You know, I want to tell you this morning, and this world will get a little upset when we stand up and say this, but that's okay. But if we seek to be justified by the grace of God, seek to be saved by His grace, then you need to understand that we are nothing but sinners in the eyes of God. All of mankind is. We read in the book of Romans how the Bible tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We read over in Genesis about how sin first entered into the world. And I can tell you this, when sin entered into the world, praise God that He already had a salvation plan set in stone for us. You know, and we read how we're in the Old Testament about how these priests, they would have to go up to the temple, to the tabernacle, and make these yearly sin sacrifices, sin offerings. And it was a year-end thing. It had to be done once every year. And I tell you this, there had to be certain animals that they had to kill and had to sacrifice for certain sins. But I can tell you this, so much greater is it that in the blood of Jesus Christ. So much greater is that precious blood. You know, and I would like to say this too, is that when you read Genesis or Revelation, you see nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And I can tell you this, I love singing the old songs of Zion when we sing about the blood of Jesus Christ, about how the blood will never loses its power, and how the blood washes our sins all away, and how there's power, a power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. And we read over in the book of Revelation that those who are even singing in heaven or sing about the blood of the Lamb. Sing about that amazing sacrifice that Jesus gave. You know, and Paul was telling the young preacher Timothy, he said, "Charge them that are rich in this world." Folks, I can tell you this, nothing else will save you except Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You can look to the materials that you have. You can look to this world. I'll even go as far as there to say you can look towards mom and daddy. But I can tell you this, unless you go to God with a seeking and an earnest desire to be saved, then you're not going to find it anywhere else. There was was a point in time in my life when God had told me and God had showed me where I stood with Him. He convicted me of my sins. And folks, I'll tell you this, there needs to be conviction in the sinner's heart. You know, but I can tell you this, I remember when the Lord showed me where I stood. You know, it was in that parking lot of that Walmart there in Lafayette, Tennessee. And, I remember there as Mom and Dad, they was trying to be a witness and they was trying to follow the Lord, and all they had to do, folks, and I want to say this as a little backstory, I grew up underneath the preaching of the sound gospel preaching of Jesus Christ. So I knew about Jesus, but I did not actually know Jesus. And folks, there is a big difference in knowing about God and actually knowing God for yourself. Amen. There is a big difference in that. I'm so glad that one day as a lost sinner boy, God took time out of His day to let me see and let me know where I stood with Him. And I'm so glad that whenever I went to the altar there at Pleasant Grove Church, that God took time out of His day to listen to my prayer, to listen to my begging, and reach down to my heart and save my soul. Only God can do that. Forget about what man teaches. I said this a little last week. You know, what this world teaches, they can have all that. They can have all that. I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't even want to breathe in its direction. But give me Jesus Christ. You know, there's a song that I've been listening to since yesterday. It's been humming it around, you know. It says, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. You know, and it goes as far as to say, than to be a king in this vast domain or to be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world can afford today. There's nothing better than being saved by the grace of God. And folks, I will even ask you this question this morning. You know, I meant to do this, but that's okay. We'll just follow the Spirit of God. But you know, the Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19, how Paul was writing to the young preacher, how he said, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Folks, my question to you today is, what are you standing on? What are you standing on? What is your foundation that you are standing on in this world? We read of a parable in the book of Matthew, how Jesus was talking about how there was a man who built a foundation and built his house upon the things of this world. He called it the sand of this life. And it said that when the storm came, it just knocked it down. But then he said there was a wise man who built his house on a rock. And whenever the storm came, that house would not move because it was built and founded on a rock. And now we go to the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter, how Jesus appeared before his disciples. And he asked him a question. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And you know, the disciples, they stood up and they said, well, some say that thou art Elias. Some say that thou art Jeremiah, or at least you're one of these prophets. But Jesus looked at him, and you know what he said? He said, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter spoke up and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus looked back and he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Flesh and blood did it reveal this unto you, Meaning no mortal man showed this to you. But God did.
Amen.
But God did. Folks, I can tell you this. In order for a sinner to realize they stand with God, God has to do the showing. And for a sinner to realize when they're saved, God has to tell them that and let them know that. Praise God that we believe in one-on-one personal relationship, getting it right with God's salvation. Praise God that we believe in a no soul. You can feel it and you can know about it and know about it enough that you can die with it, salvation. Praise God for what God has given us. Praise God for the teaching that some of us still uphold. Folks, now I got in a conversation a few years ago with some of the people that I was at school with. And you know, I remember saying about how you can feel salvation. You can feel the Lord move and you can feel God speaking to you. You know, I had some of them to look at me like I was crazier than anything else. But you know, there's a kid that spoke up and he said, "Am I gonna let you know something? I don't believe that feelings can save you. Honey, I don't believe feelings can save you either. I believe God can save you. But I believe that there's a certain feeling you get after God saves you. I believe." You know, we talk about having a time and place with God. You know that? We believe in having a time and place with God. He does. Last Sunday, we had the one to join. You know what she had to do? She had to tell us a time and place with God. But you know, let me tell you what, folks. You know, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 36 how he was talking about how there's a stony heart in mankind. But when you're saved, he takes that stony heart out of you and he gives you a new heart. You know, when God reaches down and he troubles you, troubles that heart when he convicts you. You know, Psalms 116. I can tell you this, folks. I love reading the Word of God. I love reading about my Lord. But there is one specific passage that I relate to more than anything else. And that's Psalms 116. How David was there. Some people say David. Some people say it wasn't David. I don't care who wrote it. You know what the psalmist said? He said, "I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplication." Amen. Oh, I love the Lord because one day he reached down and saved a little old sinner boy. But I can tell you this, folks, you know, you know, but then Psalms 116, it goes further than that. He said at one point in time, the pains of death compassed him. The pains of hell got hold upon him. And he said, "I found trouble and sorrow." Folks, that's the convicting power of God right there. You know, when we speak about having a time and place, you know, there has to be a time. There has to be a time when the sinner felt convicted. They felt that convicting power from God troubling their soul, letting them know that if they would die in that moment, that they would go into a devil's hell. And there has to be a time when God reached out and he swept all that trouble away and gave them that peace, as the Bible says, that surpasses all understanding. Praise God for that. You know, I don't believe feelings can save you, but I believe there's a great feeling you get when the hand of the Master touches you, when the hand of God touches you. You know, we read in Galatians there, I believe it's the 6th chapter, but it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. That word fruits means evidence, evidence of the Spirit. But you know, I can't remember and name off all of them, but there's three that just stick with me. And it just so happens to be the first three that Paul lists. He said it's peace,
love, and joy. You know, whenever I think about that, like I said, there's a lot more. And we might get to that if the Lord leads us. Right now, I'm just having a good time following the Lord. But it says that there's peace, love, and there's joy. And when I think about it, I realize that when the Lord saved my soul, He gave me that peace, and He gave me that love to see people get saved, and He gave me that joy. And I was glad to have that peace that He bestowed in my heart. I'm glad that God is still in the saving business today. And folks, let me tell you this. If you're lost and separated from God, there ain't no shame in being lost. There is no shame in being lost. There is no shame in coming up to this altar and praying. There is no shame in seeking the Lord where you're sitting at. But I can tell you this, it is a shame to stay in that condition. It is a shame to know that when God convicts you and troubles you, folks, I tell you what, you don't need to put it off. What, there's a song that we sing, don't put off salvation too long. The reason why we sing that, the reason why we believe that, is because what I believe in 1 Corinthians, Paul was telling us, he said, now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Because you're not promised another breath. You're not even promised, dare I say, to walk out of these doors this morning. We're not even promising. And I want you to think about this. If God allows us to leave this morning, I want you to think about this. When you get in that vehicle and you start heading home or heading to that restaurant that you're so anxiously waiting to get a seat at and eat, you're not even promised to make it there. You're not. The second the air leaves our nostrils and comes in through our mouth, it is a gift from God. You know, I was thinking about this a couple years ago. My dad, he was elected to preach at a sister church in Tennessee for a Thanksgiving service. And the title of his sermon there was Being Thankful. And you know, and it's always stuck out with me because he said, you know, we often thank God for the big things that we have in our life, like our job, like our home, like our cars. But what about the small things that God gives us? We need to be just as thankful for those small things, like the air that He allows us to breathe, like Him allowing us to walk. We need to be thankful for that. Folks, I tell you what, and if you're lost and separated from God, you know, your foundation this morning, it's not good. It's not. Matter of fact, that foundation that you're on, when that storm's going to come, it's just going to knock your house right over. But you know, we read of a psalmist there in the book of Psalms. Now, Brother Todd or Brother Scott told me this about this past week. M-I-R-Y, I like to say Mary, but I think that it might be actually pronounced Mary. I don't know. But let me tell you what, that psalmist was talking about how one day God lifted him up out of that miry pit. He set his feet on a rock. You know, I relate to that psalmist too, Brother Danny. I relate to one day I was sinking so deep and so low, but one day God rescued me and He picked me out of that miry clay and He set my feet upon a rock. Folks, I tell you what, if you're saved by the grace of God this morning, your feet and your foundation is Jesus Christ. You know, and I'll tell you this, Matthew chapter 16, how Jesus gave that whole spiel about who the men say that I the Son of Man am. And after Peter rose up and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus then looked at Peter. And he said, stand. Let's start now, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, and not reveal this unto ye, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto this, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Amen. Now, there's a lot of people who get that confused. And they say, oh, well, Simon Peter means stone, and Jesus just said rock, so therefore, the church was founded upon Peter. I tell you this, church wasn't founded on Simon Peter. It was founded upon Jesus Christ. Amen. But you know, when Jesus talked about that rock, that foundation, he said that was the rock, that foundation that he was talking about was the foundation that him and Peter had together. That relationship, you know what that relationship is? That relationship with Peter, knowing that he was the Son of Man. That relationship with Peter knowing about the saving grace of God. Amen. He said, this is the rock that I will build my church upon. That foundation is what I'll build the church upon. The relationship that we have is what we will build the church upon. Folks, we read in 1 Corinthians that Paul even says later, there's no other foundation that men can lay except that which is laid, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God for it. And I tell you this, folks, if our teaching is anywhere out of line with what the Word of God says, then we need to do a little reevaluation. If what we sing about and testify about and talk about and preach about is anything outside what God has given us in His Word, then there needs to be some soul searching done. Some self-examination. Folks, I tell you what, it's about time that we start being real careful with what comes in behind this book board. And it's about time we start being real careful with what each and every one of us church members do. But you know, I start thinking about that foundation that Jesus was talking about. Folks, let me tell you this. If you're not saved by the grace of God, one of these days, God is going to come and He's going to check your house. And He's going to check that foundation. And if your foundation is laid on anything else but Jesus Christ, it's going to be a sad day for you. There's a song, I don't know if it's in one of our hymnals, to be honest with you, I've not even looked through one of our hymnals, but you know, there's a song that we used to sing down in Tennessee for some meetings, and it says that there's a sad day coming by and by, when the sinner will be told, depart from me, I know you not. Yeah. Are you ready for that day to come? Yeah. I think it's a given that each and every one of us knows that we're going to die at some point. That or before that either that's going to happen or Jesus is come back, one or the other. But you know what? You need to be ready for that day to come. Whether you're going to meet the death angel himself or if Jesus is going to come back, you need to be ready. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that it's appointed unto once, for man unto once die, then after this, the judgment. Let me tell you this, folks. I look at it like a carton of milk, you know. When we go out and get a carton of milk at the grocery store, it has an expiration date on it. You know that? And if it goes past that expiration date, I love drinking milk. Let me be honest with you. I love drinking milk. We go by milk by the gallons. But let me tell you what. If that milk reaches, lots of times that milk reaches to its expiration date, it becomes nasty, becomes sour. It's gone. Folks, we all have an expiration date. Let me tell you what, you need to be ready when that time has come and is up, where will you be after this life? Are you going to be in heaven? Are you going to be one of those that God's going to look in the face and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You know why he'll say that? When we talk about salvation, we talk about having a born-again experience. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 3 how Jesus was talking to Nicodemus there, and he said, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you shall not see or enter into the kingdom of God. You know why he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you? It's because, folks, you won't have that second birth. Because, folks, whenever you have that second birth, let me tell you what. When you have that second birth, let me tell you, you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that there's a book called the Book of Life. We like to call it the Lamb's Book of Life. Whatever you want to call it, let me tell you, I believe that when a sinner is born again, that they're written down in that book of life. Now, you know what? The Bible tells us in Revelation that he who was not found in the book was cast off into a lake of fire, a place full of eternal torment, eternal sorrows. Folks, there's a reason today why us as God's people, we need to be serious about the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. And sinner friend, there is a reason why you need to be serious about your soul salvation. Brother Danny this morning has already made several cries out for people to be saved. Brother Danny, I want to tell you this. I thank the Lord that you do that. You know, we need to give out our cries to those that are undone and lost in sin. They need to know, and we need to point them to the man who can reach down and save their soul. Let me tell you, I've done a lot of thinking this past week. I really have. And I thought about us here at Friendship. And I thought about my day-to-day walk with the Lord. You know, there's a little saying that I like to say. And a lot of people up here, it seems like they don't know the saying. Catches them off guard. There's a saying that I like to say. My wife, she doesn't like it when I say this, but that's okay. There's people out there, you know, whenever they come in the barbershop or see me walking at Walmart, they'll look at me and they'll say, well, how's your day? And I say, buddy, it's like a hair in a biscuit. It's like a hair in a biscuit. And they'll look at me with this confused look and be like, man, that's nasty. You know what that hair's doing in that biscuit? It's just hanging in there. It's just hanging in there. It can easily be pulled off that biscuit. It's just hanging in there. Folks, let me tell you what. I'm getting a little tired of just hanging in there for the Lord. I really am. I'm getting a little tired of me just hanging in there for the Lord. I want to be all in for God. I want to be sold out for God. That each and every breath that I have that he gives me, I shout, holy, 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 holy is your name. And worthy is the Lamb. Because people need to see that in God's children. They need to see that. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got something to rejoice in. Something to praise the Lord about. You know, let me tell you, before we go to prayer, I always like to ask people if there's a prayer request or a word of praise upon their hearts. And the same thing is, before we dismiss service, something needs to be said or done, or is there a word of praise that needs to be said or done? You know why I offer that? because I think it's good when we can just praise the Lord for just a little Sunday he's done throughout this past week. And lots of times it sort of hurts me, troubles me. You ask that. Prayer requests, word of praise. Nobody wants to say anything. So I guess that means the world's going all right. I guess that means that there's nothing to praise the Lord for. Folks, don't be ashamed in praising the Lord for something that he has done with you throughout this week. Let me tell you, the Bible says in Psalms 107 about let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I remember growing up in church about how there'd be a good old brothers and sisters and they would stand up and they'd look at my dad and they'd say, Brother Barber, I want to praise God for meeting me in the tobacco patch this past week. Let me tell you what, that's praising God. That's the redeemed saying so. I'm thankful sometimes I can get in my car and me and the Lord can have a good little talk. Let me tell you what, last night I was trying to study. Some of y'all have been in our house, some of you haven't. I'm going to give you a little brief introduction. First of all, you go in there right now, it's messy. It's torn all to pieces. Second of all, there's an upstairs part and there's a basement part. In that basement part, in the basement there, there's a little closed off room. Just a small, tiny room, and that's where I have my study room, because it's closed off from everything. Let me tell you this. My wife, I love spending time with her. I really do. I just love having her company lots of times. But let me tell you what. You know, last night, and I was trying to pray, and I was trying to study. The Lord came in that study room. I didn't want to see my wife, to be honest with you. I wanted to stay there. I wanted to stay there and enjoy the glory of the Lord. I wanted to stay there and just enjoy being in his presence. Folks, let me tell you what. People say that what we preach isn't real. I can assure you it is 100% real. Amen. People in this world want to say it's foolish to say that you can feel God. Let me tell you what, folks, if I walk in this life and I don't feel God, then let me tell you what, I start starving for it. I start hungering for it. I don't see how anybody can live this life and not seek after the presence of God. I don't. I need him. I need him on a day-to-day basis. I don't see how people get through this life with him. It'd be scary. It'd be hard. Folks, let us earnestly seek for the Lord. And for you that are lost, seek for the Lord. Seek for soul salvation. You are never too far gone for God to save you. Let me say that again. You are never too far gone for God to reach down and save you. I don't care if you're the biggest meth head there is in Bartholomew County or if you're the richest of the rich. Folks, let me tell you what. Everybody, before they leave this life, needs to be saved by the grace of God. Period. 100% need to be saved by the grace of God. And folks, if you're not, like I said, you're not promised another day. Seek him while he may be found. That's what Isaiah said. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he was near. Now that word seek, I became a little interested in that last night as I was studying. Go to Webster's 1828 dictionary. You know what it says? Noah Webster said that the word seek means to diligently or earnestly look for. Search after. Folks, I'm glad that there was one day when God looked at me and I was there on the altar. I'm glad that I diligently and earnestly searched for him with all I could, with all my heart. The Bible says in the book of Acts that they might feel after him. You need to feel after God this morning. You know, We read, I promise you, I'm almost done. But we read, I believe it's the book of Mark, about a woman that had an issue of blood. Now, if you've never been around me, I'm going to let you know something. The woman that had the issue of blood, that's became my favorite Bible story. And I don't just believe that it was a story that was told. I believe that it was something that happened years ago. And this woman, she had an issue of blood, the Bible says, for 12 years. She spent all her earnings, all her money, all her wealth, everything that she had in her bank account, she spent it all for physicians, for doctors, to help her with this issue that she had. And then there was one day, she heard Jesus was passing by. And she said, oh, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So you know what happened? Everybody was crowding him. He was a popular guy going through there. Everybody was crowding him. Everybody was wanting to talk to him. She was on the street. She reached out. Let me tell you what. She just touched the hem of his garment. Jesus said that there was a virtue that came out of him. There was power that came out of him. You know, I believe that was the saving power of God. And you know, Jesus stopped. I believe he stopped walking. And he looked and he said, who touched me? All his disciples looked and they said, what do you mean, who touched you? You got all these people gathered up about you, and yet you want to know who touched you? And then there was this woman that had an issue of blood. And she said, it was me. You know what Jesus said? Brother Betty, he said, go away, for thy faith hath made thee whole. He's still passing by today, folks. You see, that woman that had that issue of blood, she had an issue that no earthly doctors could physically see. She had an issue that no earthly doctors could fix. But I tell you what, the Bible, you know, I believe this, that there's two kinds of issues that a person can have. It can be a bodily issue, and it can be a spiritual issue. And you see, she was having that bodily issue. She wasn't having just a bodily issue. I believe she was having a spiritual issue. Folks, I tell you what, she spent all she had on these doctors, on physicians, just to make her whole. But let me tell you what, she tried everything, and then she tried Jesus. And folks, let me tell you what, don't try everything, then try Jesus. Whenever you know that you're lost, you need to try him first. You need to try him first. This world and the doctors that we have, let me tell you what, They're more brilliant than what I am, let me tell you that. I couldn't get past math in college. I couldn't get past English in high school. Let me tell you what, they're intelligent people. But you see, they can look at everything and see that you have an issue, except they can't look into your heart and see that soul and see that it is in need of being saved. That is something that God can do, and only God can do. Praise God for it. Let me tell you what, folks. I'm thankful one day when Jesus passed by that I reached out and I touched him and he made me whole. You know, when Kaylee got saved a couple Saturdays ago, I'm still on cloud nine over that, over God's saving power. But I tell you what, I loved it when she got up and she said, he touched me. I'm afraid that there's churches out there and generations that are rising up that has not seen what a born-again experience looks like in years. And that's fearful for me. It really is. It's fearful for me. God saved Kaylee's. Let me tell you what, God can save anybody. God saved mine. He can save anybody. Brother Jeff, God saved you, and I'm not telling you that you're a terrible person. You are an Alabama fan, no. But let me tell you what, God can save anybody. God can look down into those who we think is so low and so undeserving, and He can take that heart, that stony heart that they have, and give them a brand spanking new one. What are you standing on today, my friend? Are you standing on what the world has taught you? Are you standing on Jesus Christ? Now, Bible says there in Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, and all them that labor are in vain. I'm thankful that one day God started the foundation of my house. Let me tell you what. After you get that foundation problem figured out, you then have to seek and realize that you have to start building on that foundation. Amen. Let me tell you, there's a process that we believe, and it's not preached too much anymore. There's a process we believe, and the Bible says, called sanctification. John 17:17, when Jesus was praying for his disciples, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That word sanctify, sanctification, means separation. Lord, separate them from this world. Separate them that they would be good and meet for your use. Separate them from this world because this world hates me and it hates the truth. Lord, separate them through your truth. Your word is truth. Folks, we need to be separated from this world. They need to see that there's a difference between God's people and the lost people. What are you building on your foundation? You see, when after the Lord saved my soul, then came the process of sanctification. Showed me I needed to be separated from this world, that I needed to be used for His service. What are you building on top of your foundation? Are you laying up treasures in heaven where moth and dust and rust and this things of the world doesn't corrupt it? Or are you building it here on the things of the earth? Is your treasures here on the things of the earth where thieves can come in and steal it at any given time? Bible says where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Let's have our hearts on God. I tell you what, you know, I've tried several things Micah's way. I told you I'd shut up. I promise you I'll say this and I'll shut up. But you know, I've tried several things down through my life, down through the years that I've been preaching. I've tried several things Micah's way. I really have. And you know what? I found out it's okay if things don't get done my way, as long as they're done God's way. That's what truly matters. If it's done Micah's way, let me tell you what, I make a big mess out of anything. And if it's done Micah's way, I'll make an even bigger mess of what it is. But let me tell you, if it's done God's way, it's done perfectly. Let's have our hearts on things above, folks. Let's start doing things God's way. Ask the Lord. You're saved. Ask the Lord and see what He wants you to do. If you're saved, ask the Lord what His will is for this service. Maybe it's to raise up these windows. I've been in services where people just felt the need. They need to raise up the window so that way everybody out there in the community can hear what's going on. Or maybe next Sunday we need to take the seats there. We need to take a little podium and go out into the field right here, set up a little tent. I got an altar there in my study room that I pray on. I ain't afraid to bring it out and us use it. Folks, maybe it's to go out to that field that we purchased as this church and have a little tent service. Or maybe it's just to stand up and praise God. Let's do things God's way. I'm telling you, I'm tired of just being that hair and that biscuit. I'm tired of just hanging in there. I want to be all in for God. I'm done as my thoughts and my heart have left me. I'm done, and I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Brother Mark, if you don't mind, go up to the piano, let us sing. While we're singing, let us all stand and sing. And let us think about what's been said this morning. And ask God what His will is for this morning.